Good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 37. Continuing going through Psalm 37, today we'll look at verses 9 through 11. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and then the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Amen. I'm going to break this portion down in over two exhortations. Today we're going to focus on verse 9. So take a look there. The main message of verse 9 that we'll also see later in this psalm is to wait on the Lord. Has anyone had to wait on the Lord? Okay, good. Good. We see that not only here, but also throughout Scripture. In fact, Dr. R.C. Sproul said if he had to summarize the Psalms in one phrase, it would be, wait on the Lord. Because this step of hope that waiting on the Lord is, this spiritual discipline that it is, this way of life when we abide by waiting on the Lord, it's so evidential of faith. And it's a very important door to us knowing our God more and trusting ourselves less. Psalm 27, a different psalm, is one that really embodies this idea of waiting on the Lord. And it closes with this bold declaration that you'll probably recognize. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Yes. So how do we view waiting? How do you view waiting? Is waiting on the Lord, is it a passive exercise? We might get that impression because in our culture, waiting is not really the greatest thing, is it? Waiting is seen as idle. It's seen as inefficient. It's seen as unproductive. Waiting is a waste of time, isn't it? It's a resignation compared to doing something worthwhile. Waiting means something went wrong. Someone showed up late and now we're all waiting, right? Or there's traffic. It's because there was an accident and now we're all waiting in traffic. Something went wrong. And so we view waiting negatively. Well, in Scripture, the Lord describes waiting, specifically waiting on the Lord, in a very different light. Waiting on the Lord is actually productive and active. We are called to wait on the Lord, and it's a good thing to wait on the Lord. It's faith building. It's refining. It's old man mortifying. And it's essential to our Christian growth. Look at verse 9 again of our text today. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Evildoers, workers of iniquity, who later in the psalm it says, gnash their teeth at God. They shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord will truly receive, will truly inherit. Life is truly reserved for those who wait on the Lord. A patient, confident trust in God. This is the fruit of authentic faith. And it's a courageous trust in God. A belief that his promises are true. And that the Lord will rescue and save his people. So what are some of the ways that we can wait on the Lord? Scripture tells us this. First of all, we can wait on the Lord by trusting in him. One of the key themes of Psalm 37 is not to fear the evildoer. It's repeated in this psalm over and over again. For they will be cut down like grass. Wither is the green herb. They will be cut off and receive nothing. But those who wait on him will receive the earth, will receive it all, everything. Now, this can be challenging because we read the news, or you might look at the world around us, and it seems that those standing against God are actually pretty successful, aren't they? But we must trust in God. We must, by faith, lean into his promises and by faith say, no, his promises are true and right. And if we take a step back, I just encourage you, if you're discouraged, take a step back, even in your own life or in church history, and go, oh yeah, the evildoer did go away. They were cut off. and the righteous still remain. It's so clear if we sometimes just take a step back. Secondly, we can wait on the Lord by focusing on him, fixing our eyes on the work of our God, and not being so captivated and enamored by the work of the evildoer. Earlier, we studied verses 3 and 4, that we feed on his faithfulness. We delight in Christ. Our desire is for God and for more of him. So commune with God often, frequently, actively. And while we can occasionally banter about the things here and there that the evildoers are up to, may we not be so excited about that as we are about the work of our God. May our lips more so proclaim the work of our God. And maybe this be what we're enamored by, captivated by, always looking forward to what our God will do next. And thirdly, we can wait on the Lord by communing with him. Earlier in the psalm, we read that we are to dwell in the land of our Lord. We dwell in the land. That's where we hang out. We hang out with our God, in his land, in his precepts, in his holiness. And later, as we'll see, the law of God is on our hearts. We keep his way, forsaking our own. We run to him in times of trouble, for he's our strength. And lastly, we can wait on the Lord through prayer, in eager expectation of his hand at work. We seek him for wisdom, direction, discernment, hope in what he will do. He hears our prayers, and we must have confidence in this. Waiting on the Lord, it's one of the most significant ways God builds our faith. It's not a waste of time. It renews our strength. Waiting on the Lord, it does take a confident expectation that God will fulfill his promises and that he's in control, that his promises are real. So when he calls you, I encourage you to take this admonition and wait on the Lord. Trust in him, focusing on him, communing with him and praying with him. It establishes our faith like nothing else can. Something unique about waiting on the Lord. I want to close with the opening verses of Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth and a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Remember, brothers and sisters, waiting on the Lord is not passive. We must step into it actively. It's going to be one of the most sanctifying means of grace God will bring in your life. So step into it expectantly and look forward to the strengthening of your heart that will result by faith. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have called us to wait on you, that we don't rush into anything without your clear guidance in hand. But Lord, we confess to you, we are tempted to not wait on you as we patiently should, as our psalm said earlier, patiently waiting for you, God. But Lord, we confess this to you, and we pray that you'd build our faith, that we may focus upon you, trust in you, commune with you, wait upon you in prayer, God, and you would sanctify us through that, and that we would even be a testimony of your goodness in the land. We take a moment now to individually confess our sin to you.